We come now to 1 Corinthians chapter 16, and we're going to begin today by reading verses 1 and 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, let's read verses 1 and 2. Paul said, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come." Paul begins with these familiar words, "now concerning." Paul is telling us that he's going on to a different subject. He's making a transition here. And remember that this started back in chapter 7, verse 1, and you've seen this expression several times since that point in this book. Paul said, "Now concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me." So the Corinthians had written Paul some questions, and they had a question or questions about the collection. And this is the last matter that Paul takes up with those words, "now concerning." The topic then is the collection for the saints. The word "collection" simply means a collection or a contribution, and it was taken up for good works, especially for helping the poor. You see, the idea of a collection was not new. The Jews had a collection at the temple. Do you remember when the Bible says that Jesus sat over against the treasury and he beheld how the people cast money into the treasury? That's the story in Mark chapter 12, verse 41 through 44, of the poor widow that put 2 mites into that treasury. But it's not the story of the poor widow that we're referring to so much as it is the fact that there was a treasury there. So in a similar way, when the early church began, that early church had needs right away. There were poor people in the first century church, and they needed help. So where would the money come from? Where did the early church get the money to help these people inside of the church? Did they get it from the government? Did they ask non-Christians in the community? Did they have sales and auctions? No. They took up gifts. They took up contributions from the members of the church, and then they helped those people as they could. So the Bible says, "Now concerning the collection for the saints." The early church placed a special emphasis on helping its members, that is, on helping Christians. And so in Acts chapter 6, verse 1, you read about the poor widows that were in the church, both Jews and Greeks, and the Bible says that there was a daily ministration for those poor widows. Well, where did they get the money to help those widows? It came from the free will offerings of those Christians. Later in the book of Acts, in chapter 11, verses 27 through 30, the Bible talks about a great drought. There was a severe drought that struck Judea. And the Bible says that this drought left many people without anything. So in Acts 11, verse 29, the Bible says, "Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, as much as he could, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea." So they decided that they were going to help these Christians in Judea that had been affected by this great drought. So there is a special emphasis in the Bible on Christians helping other Christians. Now, this is very similar to your own physical family. The Bible says that if a man has a family, he is responsible for providing for that family. Now, he can't provide for everybody else, but he is responsible for providing for his own. And the Bible says that if a man won't do that, then he has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. That's 1 Timothy 5 and verse 8. So the idea is that if a man has a family, then he is to provide for them first, and then, of course, as he can, he should help other families according as his ability allows him to do so and as much as he has opportunity to help them. So the Bible tells us, in Galatians 6, verse 10, that we as Christians are to have the same kind of priority about helping people. In Galatians 6, verse 10, the Bible says, "As we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." So Christians are to help all people as much as we can, and as opportunity arises, Christians are to help other people. But we are to especially help fellow Christians because we're in the same family and we have a special relationship and special duties to those Christians. So the church is to especially help its members, but the church can and should help non-Christians as well, because Galatians 6:10 says so. Galatians 6 verse 10 says, "As we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." And remember that the book of Galatians was written to churches. Galatians 1 verse 2 says that it was written to the churches of Galatia. So Paul is telling those congregations, those churches, to do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. So we have to take all that the Bible says and not just pick out one phrase in one particular verse. Yes, this passage talks about the collection for the saints, but there are other verses that tell us that we are to help as Christians and as congregations people who are outside of the body of Christ as well. Paul goes on to say in verse 1, "As I have given order to the churches of Galatia." Paul said, this is not just some kind of opinion that I'm giving. This is not some kind of mere suggestion. This is a command that comes from apostolic authority. In this same book, Paul has already said in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 37, "The things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord." So it was a command for these people, and it is a command for us. You see, if the New Testament says to do something, we are to do it, unless there is something in the context of the Bible that limits that particular command. And so there's nothing in the Bible to limit this command, and so all of us are to do it. Churches in the first century were to obey this command, and churches today should obey the command that Paul gives in this passage. Notice that he says also, "As I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye." Paul told other churches to do the same thing that he's telling the church at Corinth to do here. Remember, in this same book of 1 Corinthians, Paul said that he taught the same thing in all churches. "These be my ways in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church," chapter 4, verse 15. "And so ordain I in all churches," chapter 7, verse 17. So Paul taught the same doctrine. He gave the same requirements. He gave the same teaching in every congregation. This was uniform teaching. It's just like his teaching on the Lord's Supper or on the eldership. Now, somebody might ask today, but Paul only says this in this book. The only time that Paul talks about giving this collection or having this collection on the first day of the week is right here in 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 and 2. Why doesn't Paul tell the church at Ephesus this? Why don't we read in the book of Colossians this same order? Well, we might ask the same thing about the Lord's Supper, because Paul talks about the Lord's Supper in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. But you don't find the Lord's Supper mentioned in the book of Galatians. You don't find Paul in the book of Ephesians telling those brethren to observe the Lord's Supper. You don't find Paul discussing the Lord's Supper in Philippians or Colossians or 1 and 2 Thessalonians. Now, does that mean that the church at Corinth was to observe the Lord's Supper, but the churches of Galatia and the church at Ephesus and Philippi and Colossae and Thessalonica did not have to observe the Lord's Supper? Why, of course not. That's not what that means. Those Christians in those other congregations had been taught about the Lord's Supper. Just because Paul didn't specifically mention the Lord's Supper in those books does not mean that they didn't have to observe it. We might ask the same question about the qualifications of elders and deacons. We don't read those qualifications for elders and deacons in books like Colossians or even 1 Corinthians. Does that mean that those requirements or qualifications didn't apply at Corinth or at other places that we read about in the New Testament? Well, of course not. Those teachings were delivered. They may not be specifically stated in those particular books, but they're there. So God expects us to look at the Bible as a whole, not just at some particular part of it at one time. So the command that he gives is in verse 2. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God has prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. Paul said this is to be done at a set time. Otherwise, people would be bringing contributions at all hours on different days, and you would have confusion. He says this is to be done on the first day of the week, which is a special time, interestingly, in the New Testament. Jesus rose from the dead on the first day of the week, John 20, verse 1. The first day of the week was the day when the church was established in Acts 2. The first day of the week is the day of congregational worship that we read about in the Bible. In Acts 20, verse 7, the Bible says, "And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them." So there was an assembly for worship on the first day of the week. And that's why the book of 1 Corinthians talks so much about the whole church coming together into one place. 1 Corinthians 11 and 1 Corinthians chapter 14. This is why the first day of the week is called the Lord's Day in Revelation chapter 1 verse 10. So the early churches came together as a congregation on the first day of the week, and on that day, they had the collection, the contribution for the saints that's talked about here in chapter 16. So Paul says, let every one of you do this. Each person is to give what he can. You see, Christianity stresses the responsibilities of each member. Every member is to sing and give and to partake of the Lord's Supper, because worship in the New Testament is simple. Each person is to participate in that worship. They're not to come together to watch somebody else or let somebody else do the worshiping for them, and they're certainly not to be entertained by other people. Paul said, let every one of you lay by him in store. Now, the wording sounds like planning to give on Sunday before it comes, and that's what we ought to do, but that's not what this verse is saying. This verse is talking about what you do on Sunday, the first day of the week. You are to lay by, that is to lay by that money on the first day of the week. You are to do that in store, and that simply means to store it up, to gather it, to save it. We are to do this on the first day of the week. We are to set or lay aside money into the collection where it's kept or stored until it's used. And each person is to do that, as the King James says, as God has prospered him, and literally, that means according as he or it has been prospered. And so the idea is that when people ask, well, how much should we give? That depends on what you make. That depends on what you have. That depends on how good or how bad the circumstances of life have been to you. Some people are able to give more and others less, but we're to give according to our ability. And Paul says, do this so that there be no gatherings when I come. Paul said, give into the collection on the first day of the week, store it until I come. So instead of Paul having to gather it from every house when he came, he said, give it into this treasury or this collection. The Corinthians did this when they came together to worship God on the first day of the week, and so should we today.